Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fact that he's sitting in the Raiders coach's box with a headset on and talking to Pete Carroll, talking to Spytek, their general manager, talking to their offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, is complete and utter BS, because the NFL is the ultimate competitive place. And you're allowing a guy to sit there who's a part owner of a team, which is fine, and now he's involved in these game plans. And this week, he's got Bears Cowboys. Yeah. That's probably who he has. And now he's going to be meeting with these coaches and talking about players. That is utter BS, as far as I'm concerned, because it tilts the balance of competitiveness. Because now he has intimate knowledge, obviously, of the team that he owns, the Raiders. He's sitting in there listening and talking to GMs. He's also talking to other coaching staffs and other players around the league. I know he's going to try to be objective, but how can you be objective when you're in this situation? And why are they allowing this?
Boomer Esiason yesterday on Tom Brady sitting in the Raiders coaches booth. Now, a couple things on this. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Get to your calls in a moment. Get to Bills, Dolphins. Plenty to get to. Good morning. It's beautiful outside. It's beautiful every day now.
Great week. Yep.
We sure we're not in like a time loop. It's 80 degrees every day. Wonderful. Anyway, so on the Brady thing and on Boomer Esiason here, there are two questions I think that you can ask with this. And also there's an important clarification you had yesterday that he is not getting into coaches' meetings, pre-production meetings with these coaches and players.
Correct? I saw a clarification yesterday. He's not allowed in those production meetings in person. He's allowed to be there via Zoom. Okay. Like, he could be there remotely. He is not allowed at those teams' practices.
Right. So he can Zoom in
to the production
on a conversation with Ben Johnson.
Yep.
When Nance and Romo, like they do, meet with Ben Johnson and they meet with Sean McDermott if there's a game, and they go, sure, they talk to the coach.
Yep.
All right, how deep you want to go on this? What do we really think is being revealed in these meetings? These coaches.
Well, I could believe that some things are being revealed in these meetings, but I also could believe that the moment Tom Brady zooms into these meetings, they know who he is. They know who he works for. And if Ben Johnson was willing to, you know, give a play-by-play guy a little bit of something on the game coming up, and he plays the Raiders in 3 weeks, and Brady's now in the meeting, I'm not telling you what I was about to tell you.
What were you about to tell him?
You could have told him, like, wait till you see how many times we're going to throw the ball to the running back in this game, because they don't cover him. Something like that. I don't know.
Is it at all possible that they say that to Jim Nance?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
You think it's possible they say that to Jim Nance?
I think it's possible.
I do not think it's possible.
You don't think that they would give him like little insights on how they're going to play the game?
Nope.
Then what are they in the meeting for?
To say they met with the coach. That's it. Just so Tony Romo on the broadcast can say, we talked with Sean McDermott this week, and he told us he loves Joey Bosa.
Uh-huh.
Bosa works hard. This is a league that we just watched Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is embedded with the team for a month. What was the most salacious piece of info we got out of a month embedded with Hard Knocks?
But that's just because the Bills didn't want certain things that would have been videotaped on the air.
Okay.
Right.
They're just going to, the thing they don't want Hard Knocks to show on the air, they're just going to tell Tony Romo? I don't think so. I don't believe that these production meetings really reveal that much at all. That's my that's my first part of this. Listen, as the chief Tom Brady hater, I love hating on Tom Brady. It's my my favorite thing to do. I do not believe that he is actually getting some sort of advantage any more than he's just watching the game. He watches a game and sees a game and then can go to the Raiders and be like, hey, you know what? I saw the Commanders this week and I thought they did this. Can he not do that from his house? Can he not do that by just buying a ticket from using the All-22? He's basically a consultant slash coach for the Raiders as a part-time owner, as a minority owner. Nothing wrong with that in my eyes. I don't think you actually have to care about it. If you want to be mad because it's Tom Brady, which I love to do, then I think you can do that. And maybe I'll sit here and, you know, play that I'm mad about it and I want the rules to not be bent for him, but it doesn't even feel like they're being bent for him. And it, you got to go a long way to convince me that these production meetings with a coach or a player are actually producing any information that could be weaponized in a month.
Would it be way worse for you if he was allowed to watch practice the way the other guys are?
Yes, but even that,
Yeah.
Look at the restriction placed on local media. They can watch to a certain point. You can see who's warming up, and then you go away. But you wouldn't let another team in there? Fine. You don't want another team in there to see stuff, and he is another team. He's the Raiders.
He's the Raiders.
So he's not allowed to rush practice. I'm good with that. Owen, you got something
here? The one thing that I kept hearing yesterday, I listened to a lot of different people talk about this because I was just interested in it, was it's not as much schematic stuff that would be the advantage as it is relationship, character, like sort of intangible stuff that you get from those meetings, those production meetings we're talking about. Like the film you watch, the film's the film, but you might be able to glean something from what a coach tells you about how he feels about a player that then you can apply and look at the film and go, oh,
sure,
I'm going to notice this guy a little more and maybe how they're utilizing this player. And then whether you want to chase after that player or use that schematic strategy in some way to apply to your team, I think that's where the conflict of interest comes in, that he is getting information about the intangible relationship side of the game that I don't think most other team owners would ever get out of anybody.
I wouldn't dispute for a second there's a conflict of interest. The question is, how bad does it actually look for the NFL, and does it lead to any sort of questionable integrity about the league? And that, I just don't think so. So conflict of interest. Mike Florio has an axe to grind with this exact story as well. He wrote about this. It's the ultimate pro football pick a lane. Brady won't do it unless and until someone musters the nerve to make him do it. Like, you shouldn't be on the broadcast as an owner. You shouldn't have Jerry Jones on Fox during the games because you're not getting a true, honest assessment. And that I get. I feel like the television side of it might be more compromised than the football side of it. And the television side, I don't think people care.
No, I mean, I don't think he's very good at it, personally. But and I don't really care.
And all these networks are already in bed with the league to begin with. ESPN just bought a portion of the NFL Network, or vice versa. Like that.
They bought 10% of ESPN.
Yeah, the NFL Network. The NFL did.
Yeah, and ESPN gets NFL Network.
Sure, right.
Yeah,
so like now they're together.
Right.
That's a there are lots of conflicts of interest that are, you could point out and say, like, well, that doesn't look too good. What really comes of it? In this case, Florio pointed out that if the Raiders get good, it becomes a bigger story. And that the league shouldn't let it get to that
point. The fact that it became a big story when they lost, and Geno Smith had, like, the worst game of his career. It's, like, a historically bad game for the amount of times he threw the ball down the field and never completed a pass down the field. It was, like, a historic level of how bad he was in that game with Brady in the booth. Man, if they got good, imagine he did that in a playoff game. Or, like, he was seen there in the Super Bowl. It would be a story. And I guess it is a good question of how much value he really is deriving from these meetings. Because I would be skeptical, too, that he's getting a lot of game planning stuff. Stuff Owen's talking about, that might be more like, you pick up on a coach or a GM not loving a guy as much as you thought, and maybe you tell your own guy, like, hey, we should go try and trade for that guy.
He's definitely getting game planning stuff. Like, he's definitely involved in the Raiders.
No, I know, but I mean from the other team. I mean, from the production stuff.
Right, which I think they're not giving him for a single second. Pete Carroll confirms that Brady and Chip Kelly talk every week. Like Brady is a part of what they're doing. If you want to call him a coach, you want to call him a consultant. There was a report that he meets three times a week or so with Chip Kelly and goes over film with him. Now, Pete Carroll confirmed the claim but disputed the specifics of it. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. Three times. We have conversations. I talk to Tom. Chip talks to Tom regularly. I mean, we have a tremendous asset, so we all get along well. We respect each other, so we talk about life and football and whatever it comes. He has great insights. We're lucky to have him as an owner. He goes on to say that they don't meet, they just talk. Whatever.
They don't meet, they just talk?
Right. He said it's not well, this is Florio saying, like, it's not accurate to say Brady and Kelly meet. They don't, they talk. Okay. Right? Like, that's not
that
accurate.
That means they talk on the phone, they don't actually go into a meeting room together.
That's what Pete Carroll's kind of getting into. He's like, oh, that's not accurate. They don't meet three times a week. Yeah, we talk. All right, whatever. So Brady's involved with the Raiders. He is part owner, and I don't know, are other former players jealous of A, the ownership stake, B, the hands in, still in the whatever, the you're involved in the making of the soup.
Even the broadcasting stuff. He got $300 million without ever proving he could do it.
Right.
He got $300 million from Fox because of his name. So there could be jealousy on that front too. And also, to be fair, he's not necessarily the individual that deserves the benefit of the doubt on this kind of stuff, is he?
Well, it strikes me as hilarious that he went to a team that has a GM whose name is Spytek.
Yeah, I heard the word Spytek in that. I'm like, who? What? Spytek?
What's this guy's name? Spytek?
Right.
Love him. No, whatever. I love hating Brady. I love getting on Brady. I do think that this is a lot of pearl clutching for what? I don't think they're giving him information. I don't think these production meetings, that he's not even in the facilities. Like, if it were to stop, sure, fine. But I don't know. I'm ready to be wrong on this. I don't see any sort of wild scandal coming. The problem becomes the Raiders are the one seed. The game's on Fox. It wouldn't be, right? Because they're the AFC. All right.
No, sometimes they do that, right?
They've been
flip-flopping more recently.
Is that
the last
right?
Couple years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the Raiders are in a big, important game, and he's on the broadcast. That can't happen. That's easy to avoid. That is just don't give him the Raiders. Now, is it?
I bet they're already doing that.
Right. Is it unavoidable? It's probably not that hard to keep Brady away from a Raider game.
No, right. But maybe if they get really good, and Fox in a couple years is like, hey, we'd like to have Packers Raiders.
All right, just
when we want our A-team on that, but
you know, your A-team, put Greg Olsen on the broadcast.
I was going to say Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's the one who really should have a bone to pick on all of this, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm better at this than him. And look at him. He's the one getting all the money, and he's allowed to do both things. He just shouldn't have been allowed to do both things. That's really what it comes down to. He shouldn't be in the booth. He's not very good at it. He's getting way overpaid for it because of the money that he makes. He didn't even want to do it. He wanted to be the owner. He's probably only doing it because he got a giant check. Like, hey, want to do it for you don't want to do it, but you want to do it for $300 million? Anybody would say yes to that.
Yeah. Anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills Dolphins on the way tomorrow, week 3. We mentioned earlier the Bills are, like, even money to be the one seed. There have been two games played, and just the way the AFC has fallen. Listen, everything could change in a week, in 4 days, between the Bills. You know, I don't think they're going to lose to the Dolphins. But if they were to lose to the Dolphins and the Chargers beat the Broncos and go to 3-0, all of a sudden, you know, well, all right, now you're behind that team and you don't play them. You would need them to lose games.
Yep. The only thing that you could argue maybe hasn't gone in their favor for the one seed, and I think this is a little thing, is that Baltimore's division looks a lot easier than it did a month ago.
That's right. Instead of being the gauntlet that might be, you know, without Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but they both look kind of rough. And Cincinnati looks like they're toast, too.
That's what I mean. Like, Baltimore could... They could sweep their division.
That's right.
And I would have told you a month ago, like they'll drop two games.
Yeah, 4-2, 5-1. Yeah, the Bills would be expected to sweep the division more so than Baltimore would have a week ago, and now it might be about a push.
Yep,
that's fair. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Dolphins. The last time, especially if they lose, probably the last time the Dolphins come to town. We kind of flirted with it yesterday, like your Bills Dolphins memories.
Yeah,
and I thought about this. How many Bills fans, local especially, for this question, have a Dolphins fan in the family? Haven't there been generations of, you know how family dynamics work, Joe? Like, you've got a brother who's not a Bills fan. He's an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, we were all Syracuse basketball fans, but one sibling in the family, family, they liked Georgetown because something about your family likes this team and whatever, the black sheep in the family decides, you know what, I like the other team. How many Bills fans have a Dolphins fan in the family that kind of got away and said, I'm not it for the Bills. I like the Dolphins. Whether it's the Marino Dolphins or it's the Drought Bills. I mean, the Dolphins weren't really that much better. But don't you feel like you occasionally run into the Dolphins fan that lives locally? I don't know how many there are. There might be more Patriots fans that kind of got away. Maybe they've come back to home.
But I wonder if they've kind of started fading away a little bit.
Like it was a phase?
Yeah, it's a phase. And now it's over. But when would it have been over for you? Because at this point, depends. If you were a fan of them because they were so great in the 70s, you're not going to quit on them now. Right?
No, right. I mean,
that's a lifetime thing.
Some bonds are strong, and even if times are tough.
Because they've gone 25 years without winning a playoff game.
Right.
So, I don't know how many there are locally anymore. Right. Like, there's nobody my age group. I don't have a single friend that's a Dolphins fan.
Patriots? Like, did we have a generation where we lost a couple there to the Patriots?
Not to the Patriots, no.
Certainly not the Jets.
A couple Broncos, one Giants.
Yeah.
But no Patriots. Because that was just like, that would have been egregious bandwagoning, right? Like, and that's not the Miami thing I could maybe listen to is, were they on TV all the time and nobody else was?
That happens a lot for a generation of fans.
Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, because by the time New England is good, you don't have that excuse anymore.
That's right.
Teams are on TV. You can get the Sunday ticket if you really want. Whereas in the 70s, if you just only were exposed to Dolphins football because they were on every week, that's a little bit more defendable. Still not great.
You were pretty young for the first couple Patriots Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
You're saying like it would be egregious bandwagoning?
Well, the first game I really remember watching as a kid, I would have been six, is the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl.
Okay. Because one defining characteristic of the first couple Patriots Super Bowls was that people would say, you know, I just really respect how they do it.
Yeah.
That was a defining,
And why was that? That was just because of what?
I don't know.
Was that just being said because the quarterback was seen as like a superstar yet?
Yeah, he's an underdog, sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of that. You got to respect them.
Respect while they were doing it. They were cheating.
They were trying to.
That was Spytek. Spygate. The GM. Spygate.
Yeah. Gina in Delaware before the break. Hey, Gina, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just was commenting when you were talking about the Tom Brady thing, and I was saying to Joe, that is, because I just want to give a quick shout-out to WGR Josh, wherever you are, Josh, I miss you, and good luck to you. Didn't even know that they sound alike. So anyway, so what I wanted to tell you is Tom Brady, we're splitting hairs here, guys. It is a freaking conflict of interest. There's no doubt about this. There is no doubt about the fact that this is a conflict of interest. And because it's Tom Brady, we just kind of turn our face. We make rules as we go. That's what we do. That's how policies are made. That's how policies are made in healthcare. Until something happens, it's not a problem. Until it happens, it's a problem. So we'll just keep an eye on this. But there's no doubt about it, guys. Don't fool yourselves. It is a conflict of interest. The other thing I wanted to say to you earlier in the week about me and my situation in Ravens country, guys, I can't stand what I'm hearing here. Do you know what I hear all the time? You guys got an easy schedule. Of course you're going to be number one seed. Of course you're going to the Super Bowl. That's what I hear. That is what I hear in Delaware. So you
They've
guys, we know what's up. We know about our Bills. But I'm in a different perspective here in Raven country. Ravens have a tough schedule. Bills do not. And that doesn't make me feel good because I'm an OG. And I know what we've gone through as a Buffalo Bills nation, team, and fan base. And it's just not right. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, thanks, Gina. I would say that I couldn't tell you the strength of schedule of any single Super Bowl winner in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. And that's just a testament to, if anybody tries to take away any accomplishment by having an easy schedule, you can rest assured, no one will remember that. No one. The 17-0 Patriots that lost in the Super Bowl, was their schedule tough? I have no idea. I mean, every one of these teams, especially the Ravens, they play first-place schedules. The Bills are playing a first-place schedule. You know whose schedule is easier than the Bills? The Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets and the Dolphins. The Bills have a first-place schedule. They play the Ravens. They play the entire AFC North this year. But their crossover game against the West is the Chiefs.
Right.
If the Chiefs have a down year, like, sorry, they're a first-place team last year. So the schedule is a formula. Everybody plays the same formula. And pick a Super Bowl winner. Who won? The Chiefs have won three. What their schedule look like? I have no idea.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So,
yep,
it's a heavy grasp at a straw. Don't care.
The closest you would have ever come was the Eagles if they had won after they didn't have to play a quarterback in the NFC
that's
Championship
right, that's
game.
Right.
But even that,
it was just the playoffs. It was
yeah,
Daniel Jones
right.
And then
no quarterback.
No quarterback because Brock Purdy got hurt, and then they would have still had to beat the Chiefs.
Right.
So,
and that probably would have got forgotten too over time.
Yep.
So,
I mean,
I don't think it'll be remembered. It is a reason why you could help yourself win. I don't doubt that. You don't have to apologize for that.
No, it's part of you got to have things aligned for you. You got to be lucky. You got to not get hurt.
Especially for a team where it's about January anyway.
Yeah.
As if, okay, the Bills go 14-3 this year. Like, oh, they only did that because of their easy schedule.
Great.
Like, what about the last 5 years? It's not like if the Colts did that this year with the easiest schedule in the league and Daniel Jones, I might sit here and say they won't do it in January because of the easy schedule. But once you do it in January, that answers for any question about you having an easy regular season schedule.
The year the Titans were the one seed and got knocked out by Cincinnati in their first game?
Yes.
What was the Titans' strength of schedule?
Don't know.
Don't know. If they'd won the Super Bowl, you wouldn't know. They got knocked out in the first round. You still don't know.
Right.
You just remember what happened in the playoffs. So that's what I would say. Don't listen to those people. 803-0550. Thanks, Gina. Holding it down. And it sounds like those Ravens fans have given up. So, you know, it's not too bad. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, though. 803-0550, checking in on the Dolphins with Alan Poupart, who covers the Dolphins. It's coming up next here on WGR with Jeremy and Joe.
Dude, he's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that, and then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's gonna be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see.
Tua Tagovailoa speaking on Josh Allen ahead of this matchup from Highmark Stadium. It'll be Bills and Dolphins tomorrow night, an 8:20 start. What did we decide? 8:15, you did this.
Yesterday because I was getting screwed up with Sunday and Monday.
I got it. Thursday and Monday are 8:15.
Yes.
Sunday is 8:20.
There you go.
So it's 8:15. Sorry about that.
Why don't they just all start at the same time?
That's a good question. Tomorrow night from Highmark Stadium. Joining us on the Western Hotline to give us the Dolphins side of things and how things are there in Miami, Alan Poupart joins us. He of SI.com covering the Dolphins. Alan, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. How bad are things in Miami? The feeling around here seems to be we could be watching Mike McDaniel's last game if it goes poorly. Do you think that's in the cards? Is that possible?
Good morning. And first, before I answer the question, I just want to say I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who gets confused with 8:15, 8:20, 8:12, 8:30. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not alone.
To get back to your question, I think if the game goes really bad, if the Dolphins look like they looked in their opener against the Colts, I think everything's on the table. I think if the Dolphins are competitive, even if they lose to go to 0-3, I don't know if I'd expect anything drastic to happen after the game. And if they do something, their next game next week, not only do they have the extra days because they play Thursday night, well, their next game is the following Monday night against the Jets. So if you were to make that drastic a move, it's the ideal time to do it again. But to me, I sense that there's a feeling here that maybe it happens, but only if the game goes really, really bad for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it does feel like, though, Alan, like they've maybe entered into a territory where it's a game. Is it a game by game thing? Like, let's say they do play close, like they lose the game, but it's competitive. It's you'll get the same questions next week, I'm sure, about like them going into the Jets game. Like, well, if they lose this one, it could be it. And if they lose to the Panthers, this could be it. Is it feel like it's week to week now, where maybe he's down to his last straw?
Yes and no. I think the other issue is also you have to do the logistics. You have to look at the logistics of the timing of making an in-season coaching change, which is why you always look if they have a long week, their bye's not until week 12. And again, we have to see how it goes. I mean, I don't think that Stephen Ross, the owner, is going to want to see this team look bad, which in turn kind of makes him look bad because it's his team week after week. And week one was an abomination against the Patriots. They had a stretch where they played very, very well, but then down the stretch when they have two drives where they need to score and to have operational issues where you have a false start and a delay game on two consecutive drives, that's borderline embarrassing. And that's what can't happen. So if they get, like, even if they were to say, let's say they're competitive against the Bills, lose, they're 0-3, they play against the Jets, they lose, but again, they're without those embarrassing moments like we saw against the Colts, like we saw against the Patriots. I don't know that it's necessarily fair to say, well, okay, is this a week, is this a week, is this a week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alan, regarding Mike McDaniel, I think, you know, there's no doubt he's not exactly like the prototypical model of coach in the NFL of years past, but a very bright football mind. And at the start, things appear to be going really well. There seems to be this belief that maybe he's lost the room. I saw a number of players kind of taken up for him yesterday. Maybe that's just lip service. What kind of sense do you get about his ability to just be a head coach versus a coordinator? There are plenty of guys in this league that have made it the head coach spot, and it turns out they're just really best fit to be a coordinator. What's your sense on McDaniel for that?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. It's a good point because that was the question when the Dolphins hired him out of San Francisco in 2022. Zero question about his football acumen, zero question about the X's and O's and all that. Very smart guy. Can he lead a room? And 4 years after the fact or 3 years after the fact, that question still remains. And when things were going well early on, because you have to remember, he's got off to good starts. His first year with the Dolphins, they start off 3-0. In 2023, they started off 3-0 as well. Last year, again, I know they won their opener. So it's been when adversity has hit that's kind of the true measure of a coach. The Dolphins did show some great resolve last year, coming back from 2-6 to win 6 in a row. But they've always come up short against the really good teams or down the stretch, and then this year it's gone off the rails from the start. And the question still remains, yeah, is Mike McDaniel one of those guys who's just destined to be a great coordinator and not necessarily head coach material?
On the field, Alan, what's overreaction and what's truth? The Dolphins' defense I've seen described as it could be historically bad. At least it's given signs of that maybe in the first 2 weeks. How bad is the defense going to be in what Bills fans see tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that's the overreaction. It was brutal in the first two games. There is absolutely no getting around that. Pass rush, which was supposed to be the strength of the team with their four legitimate pass rushers, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Matthew Judon, Chop Robinson. Dolphins have four sacks in two games, an average of two a game, not going to get it done. And when they're not getting to the quarterback, they're not really affecting the quarterback, so it's not just the sack numbers. They have zero takeaways, and this was a problem from last year as well when they were fourth in the NFL in total defense, but their takeaway numbers was very low. And they lost Jalen Ramsey, who was by far their best cornerback, and now have a group that is, politely I'd say, questionable. They lost Calais Campbell, who even at 73 years old, he's still a really, really good defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And they replaced him kind of with three rookie draft picks who may become good in time, but certainly are not impact players yet. So, I don't think the defense is the nightmare that it's been in the first two games. But at some point, you know, the perception is going to become reality if it doesn't turn around. And maybe, you know, Thursday night tonight where it happens and they play better defensively.
Yeah, Ellen, what's the formula for Miami to win it? Is it run the ball with Achan effectively and find a way to get your stops? I mean, they've not won a game here in the Sean McDermott era, and they're looking for win number one against McDermott in Buffalo. So what is the game script that leads them there?
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to be accused of being an overly optimistic Dolphin dude, but no, they haven't won since 2016. They have come close three different times. The 2022 Saturday night game was 32-29. That playoff game after the end of that year was 34-31 with Skylar Thompson at quarterback, mm-hmm. I might add. Mm-hmm. And then last year, the game was in doubt until the last drive and that unfortunate unsportsmanlike conduct, unnecessary roughness on Jordan Poyer. So they have come close, and the formula's basically been that their offense gets humming a little bit. And again, as I mentioned, we saw that for a good solid two quarters against the Patriots, where the offense looked like the offense of 2022 and 2023, with some throws about 15, 20 yards down the field. There was a long pass to Tyreek Hill. That was his first, that's been said over and over again, his first catch of longer than 30 yards since the 24 opener. Mm-hmm. They have now run the ball. That certainly would make life easier. And just get a turnover at one point on defense would help as well. That's the formula. And if the game comes down...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the fourth quarter drive, let's see if we can avoid a false starter delay game.
Yeah, right. Ellen Pavar, SI.com. Ellen, thanks so much for the time, and enjoy the game on Thursday.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Ellen Pavar on the Wester Hotline.
Hey, if it's going to come down to them needing a turnover, that's a tough life to live.
It is.
Against the Bills right now. They've won the turnover battle 24 games in a row. So
NFL record. They're due to lose it somewhere. What's the most?
I don't see it happening.
What's
tomorrow,
the most likely way they lose it? Like 1-0.
Sure.
A fumble, special teams fumble.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Ooh, that would count towards
turnovers
right?
Count. Yeah. I don't know how to put that.
Imagine they lose the
evil
they
out
lose
in the
that,
universe,
but they lose that streak on a special teams play rather than an offensive play.
Right. Could happen this week. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast has all 22 takeaways from the Jets game. And previewing this matchup with Miami, we'll get to that. We'll talk a lot about Bosa and his potential impact here. Joey Bosa off to a great start with the Bills, of course. Things are looking up for the Bills pass rush. I also just out of nowhere, Joe, looked for 2025 NFL trade deadline candidates.
Already? Well, all right.
We talked about it earlier. I got thinking, if they're on track to be the one seed, it's their mm-hmm. best shot ever. And would Bean just think, who's the best player I can add?
Mm-hmm.
What position might it be? Again, like, we've got weeks to find out what it'll be. And the Bills have reinforcements coming still. In Hoyt, Ogunjobi, Hairston, players still coming back. But, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, would he want to go in? Didn't he say on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast his regret was not getting Vaughn the year the Rams
yep.
got him?
Yep.
I that year, instead of Vaughn, what do they do?
Nothing.
Nothing. So if they're set up for another year,
yeah.
maybe they don't feel they need a pass rusher. Maybe it's a corner. I mean, it really might be a corner. If Hairston is slow to come along.
Yeah, wherever they might have an injury,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's a linebacker.
Maybe. Could be anything.
If Milano can't stay healthy, like, and there's a great linebacker out there, it might just come down to whatever they've had injured by then.
Greg Newsom's the name I got here for – actually, how about this? ProFootballNetwork.com. I'm just going through the candidates for trades, and
yeah.
it's Greg Newsom, cornerback Browns, is on the list. Potential landing spots, Buffalo Bills.
All right.
So, you heard it here first. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-552-550 on WGR. Sometimes we remember anniversaries. I saw yesterday from Chris Creamer at sportslogos.net.
Yeah.
That yesterday was the anniversary of the Sabres revealing the slug.
All right.
19 years.
Wow.
Since they introduced the slug.
I remember where I was.
You
was
do?
At a friend's house. We saw it on a desktop computer that was probably from like 1996. Yeah.
Was it tweeted Windows? Out? Was it on the internet? How did they reveal it?
Sabres.com, I'm sure, yeah. is where I saw it. I don't think there wasn't Twitter. Well, 19 years ago? No, there wasn't Twitter.
It might have been out, but not everybody was hanging out on it.
No.
For sports.
No, right. I remember thinking it was fake at first. Like that, my friend would have showed me, like, this is a fake one.
Yeah, Twitter was launched July of 2006, so there was no Twitter. Oh no, there was.
There was Twitter, yeah, but there just was. Nobody
like 4 months old.
Nobody
2 months
went
old.
On it. Yeah,
do some math quick. The
you
slug.
Know, it's grown on me over time, but I think it's just because that's what they wore the last time they were good.
No, they wore the dark blues. They were good. They won a division in those.
No, that was the slug. They won the
You're
division
right.
wearing the slug.
You're right. The Myers was... And then the next
like,
year, they made the playoffs as a 7 seed.
I think it's just the results. But I see that uniform now, and I'm like, yeah, those are good years.
President's Trophy, 2 down years, and then...
Playoffs again.
A division, yeah.
Right? Like, I think of Vanek. I think of Pominville. Like, I think of Miller. Like, those are good years. I don't have any nostalgia left to play off of that because they now wear black and red and they wear the classic uniforms and they still stink.
Will they ever bring back the slug?
Man, oh, that's a tough
one.
They
won the President's Trophy in it.
That's a tough one. I'll say yes.
Okay. As I was looking
they
at this
They don't
piece,
have any other... If they ever wanted to do something nostalgic, that's the only card they have left to play. It was bad, yeah. A bad logo, but I think if they wore it a couple of times, people would be okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't the Bruins bring back the Pooh Bear? Didn't they do that?
I don't know.
If that can be brought back, and they hated that in Boston. They brought that. You know what that was, though? Remember they did the reverse retro thing? It was like a series.
Yeah.
So we're going to need like a series where like they wear a black and red slug.
The Sabres brought back the butter knives, one.
They did, yeah. Yeah, in white, though, which was stupid.
It was reverse retro. As I'm looking at it really up close again, like looking at the slug, the buffalo with the horns,
yep.
I think, you know, it might have been close to a good logo. Like a slightly different version of it might have been okay.
Like it just if it had limbs?
That might have helped. I don't,
limbs
I don't
have helped.
Know what would
they
have
They forgot
helped.
About the limbs. Yeah.
It's that the... You know, the navy is wrong. The yellow is more of like a maize gold.
My biggest problem with the jersey wasn't even the logo. It was all the silver.
There's a lot of silver.
So much silver.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
They had the armpits and the piping and the... They call it gussets. Is that what it's called? It's like a gusset. I don't know. The alternate logo, by the way, is one that has made it through and survived and is good. And that's the B with the sword through it. That is a good logo.
Yeah. Let me ask this. If they had won the cup in 07, would they still be wearing the slug?
No.
No?
No.
They would have changed?
Maybe they would have gone back. Also,
but I'll guarantee you if they had won the cup, they would have gone back to it at some point.
Oh, for sure. I'm also looking at the history of the logo and remembering, you know, the timelines here at sportslogos.net, they have all the timelines of their primary logo, right? So it's the Sabres and the Cross Swords from 70 to 95 and 96. 96, it goes goat head. Then there's a second version of the goat head. They changed it in 99-2000, slug for 3 years. And then from 2010 to 2019, that's when they went back to the Cross Swords Buffalo, but the dark blue.
Yeah.
Which I hated that.
That was their third jersey for 2 years, though.
I hated how dark it was.
It was so dark.
You'd watch games and think you're watching the Bruins.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went to the royal blue, and it's, you know, they've been there since 2020.
And this is probably where they'll live forever.
Yeah, I would think so. With, you know, flirting with black and red often. 803-0550. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. He'll join us on the other side for our Wednesday game preview. We're a little closer to the game, of course, with Bills and Dolphins tomorrow. So he'll get some all-22 takeaways from the Jets game, the 30-10 win, and then push forward into Miami. What the Bills have to do, the path to victory. They are big favorites for a team they always seem to beat and that is reeling right now. So stay tuned. Joe Marino coming up here on the other side on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.